This is A View from the Bridge, an official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Wednesday, the 11th, I had to check that, of December 2013. And my name is Patrick Smith. We've got a great show for you today, guys. Cameron Hughes, the super fan who's going to be appearing at the Odyssey Arena this weekend, will be joining us. We'll also have Colin Shields talking about his fantastic initiative for homeless Belfast. Craig Anderson, Slapshot Scott, on to talk about the Gardiner Conference. We have an interview with Paul Eady from last Saturday night at the Odyssey. And, we've got Davey and the coach, of course, with a bit of Davey's questions thrown in there for good measure. If you want to get in touch with us here on A View from the Bridge, podcast at kingdomofthegiants.com. You go to Twitter at AVFTV or the website, of course, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast. Let's get on with it. I got told off last week for not introducing him first. So first up, Davey McGimsey.
Proper order, Patrick. Good to hear you, mate.
And join us as well, a man who wasn't on TV this week, but it's Neil the Coach Russell's back with us anyway.
Hello, Patrick. How are you?
Not too bad, buddy. Guys, it was only one game this weekend against the Edinburgh Capitals, the return to the Odyssey, after 8 games away for the Giants. And one of those games was a defeat at Murrayfield to the Capitals. But the Giants were able to hit back with a 6-3 win. Goals for Keefe, 2 for Surrett, another goal for Kevin Phillips, Higgins, Whitecotton for the Giants, Bendix, Safar and Hartman for the Caps. Davey, you were at this one. First one at home in a while. What were your thoughts on how the Giants performed?
It was a fairly comprehensive performance, Paddy, that dominated in the first period. Didn't really get as many goals, probably due to Hudlowski having another tremendous game between the pipes. That's every time we've played the Caps, he's been outstanding. But eventually, you know, whether it's durability, whether he got any wee injury or whatever, but we just turned it on in the second period, blew them away. And then really their goals were down, sounds disparaging, but a bit more down to complacency and maybe us taking the foot off the gas a little in the third period to not let them back into it, but make the score line a little less sort of comprehensive than it might have been. Kevin Phillips, obviously another game winning goal for him, but a very good performance against what has to be, honestly, was a very poor cap side.
Coach, we spoke a few times about how annoyed you were that we were beaten by the Caps in Murrayfield, and with the Giants also losing to the Panthers only last week, this had to be a game where they responded.
Very much so, Patrick, and the thing that kind of came out of that game for me at the weekend was 5-on-5, the Caps just could not live with the Giants. And if you look at that Caps defeat at the Murrayfield ice rink, the amount of goals that we give up, I think there was, am I right in saying there was 5 power play goals that night? You know, and the Giants were very, very disciplined on Saturday night. They still, Adam Keefe was checking everybody that he possibly could. You know, it wasn't a massively physical game, but the likes of Adam Keefe again was out nailing everything that obviously moved. High intensity shifts from him. And, you know, I just thought that we were very, very disciplined on Saturday night, stayed out of the box, and we took our opportunities. Davey's right, but for me, it's a very average Edinburgh Capitals team with some quality in there as well. Dobrin, Lean Weber, Safar, quality players. Hudlowski, fantastic goaltender, but I'm sorry, the rest of them just aren't really up to the Belfast Giants level.
The Giants give up 2 late goals to sort of maybe flatter the Capitals in a way. Do you think that Paul Eady would have been annoyed by that?
Well, he was, and you know, I know that Davey had a word with him as well afterwards for a view from the bridge, and he definitely was, and it was something that we noted on commentary as well. For the first time, I think this season, I actually noticed Paul Eady getting a wee bit angry on the bench. The arms were waving. He called a timeout straight away after that third goal, which was a smart timeout call, in my opinion. Just calm things down, and he wanted to have a word with the troops. And, you know, for the first time, as I say, he just got a wee bit more animated than I've ever seen him. And we asked him afterwards, and Davey got it on an interview, and, you know, he said, you know, the guys just maybe were coming a wee bit complacent, weren't blocking shots the way they would ordinarily, weren't in the right positions that they would be ordinarily. And, you know, Edinburgh came back with a couple of goals and put the Giants under a wee bit of pressure, but it was never going to be. It was too little, too late.
Well, now you've teed that up for us quite nicely, Coach. We'll have that interview where, Davey, you spoke to Paul Eady after the game.
Joining us after the game against the Caps is Coach Paul Eady. Paul, good to be back at the Odyssey. Good win.
Yeah, real good win. I mean, I thought we played really well tonight. We dominated most of the game, especially 5-on-5. And, you know, we got up to 6-1 at one point. And I think maybe we fell asleep a little bit for a few shifts and gave up a couple of goals. But overall, we played very well.
Two great performances from the second line tonight. Evan Shevery, 4 points. Kevin Surratt, man of the match.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if we have a first or second line. I think we have, you know, three good lines. And, yeah, they came up big tonight. I mean, I think with Higgins scoring and Surratt scoring and Shevery with 4 assists tonight, they played a good game and produced some nice goals for us.
And despite shipping 6 goals, Thomas Hudlowski had another fantastic game between the pipes for the Caps.
Yeah, he seems to, play really well game in, game out for them. And I think we had 40-plus shots in the first 2 periods, and eventually it warmed down a bit, and the puck started to go in more in the 3rd period. But overall, though, we stuck with it, and it was a close game after the first, but we finally, put our chances away.
So we've managed to avenge the road defeat to the Caps. It's onwards and upwards towards Fife and Sheffield for next week now.
Yeah, I mean, 2 tough games, Fife on the Friday, then Sheffield on the Saturday, and we just have to focus on the Fife game and then worry about Sheffield the next day. So, because, Fife have some good talented players and they can spring a surprise on you. So we don't want to get caught out against them. We're going to have to play hard like we did tonight.
I'm looking forward to an exciting December, mostly at home.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice. It's nice to be home. I mean, we played a lot of road games. And, if we play like we did tonight, game in, game out, we should get some good results.
Yeah, thanks for your time, Coach.
You're very welcome.
And then, well, one other thing to note was we still didn't have Jeff Mason or Darryl Lloyd in that game. Coach, you got to speak to Jeff Mason in the period break for Giants Live. And if you want to hear that interview, you can go to our SoundCloud account, soundcloud.com/AVFTB, where that is a great interview from yourself, Coach. But Davey, Mason's obviously, he returns to skating this week, and these are two players that we're really missing at the moment. How important is it that we get them back quickly?
Oh, it's always important at the level of hockey that the Elite League is that you can try and have a full quota of import players. We're very fortunate that we'll have, Craig Peacock filling up an important level slot there. But, that line of, I think we spoke about it last week, or maybe we spoke about it offline, that line of Keith, Lloyd and Garside is weaker no matter who you put in when one of them's not there. It's a tremendous line, and we're very fortunate that we've got a high level of import quality in our team. But, Jeff Mason is an all-star D-man. He has been for a number of years, and Darryl Lloyd is along with Keith, the heartbeat of the team. I'm looking forward to having those guys back in the team. They're certainly not going to wait on our team. Bring it on.
The one note as well about Evan Shevery, an absolutely phenomenal performance from him. Was it 4 assists he got?
Four assists. I thought he was superb. And again, I know you talked about him as being the only kind of real standout player at the NIC last week after that thumping. Mm-hmm. And he was phenomenal on Saturday night. He really was. And he seems to have just really stepped up his game the last few weeks. He's been a kind of standout guy. And the other very impressive player for me from Saturday night was Chris Higgins. I know I've waxed lyrical about having that type of player on your team. And on that Jeff Mason interview that you're talking about, I asked the question, would a Doug Christensen type coach have the likes of Chris Higgins in his team, or is Chris Higgins more of a quality type player? And Jeff Mason said, yeah, Doug Christensen probably wouldn't sign the likes of a Chris Higgins because he just does things completely carte blanche. He's got that X Factor style about him. He does, but he's a silky skater. He just invents plays. He does things that you're just not expecting. And I thought he was superb against the Caps on Saturday night.
If you weren't at the game and you're listening to this and you haven't seen the highlights, go find the highlights, because Chris Higgins' goal on Saturday night, when he was dangling through people, diving at him, people lying on the floor, and then still had the presence of mind just to, here, you go that way, Hudlowski, I'll stick it in the other corner. An absolutely phenomenal goal. And he is really, really is an outstanding player. Nigel Ringland called it right on Saturday night that Kevin Surratt got the man of the match. I disagreed with him. I think, Coach, you were after, who did you want as man of the match?
Well, I thought Chris Higgins was
Chris
was
Higgins
a good
thought had a good game. And I said to you before the man of the match, Evan Shevery for me was man of the match. I didn't realise at that stage he had 4 points. I thought he had 3, but 4 point night. that second line, and Paul Eddy spoke about it there, we don't really have a second line. You know, that line is outstanding, and Chevrolet's leading the way, 30 points in 25 games, Surrett 28 points in 25 games, and obviously if Higgins is a bit fewer points, more than point a game, but he was out injured for a while. That's a fantastic line we have there, you know, 20, 30, 60, 80 points in 25 games between them. But
I think the thing to note from all of that, anytime that we have asked Yeti about, you know, the first line do this and the second line, he is very clear in his thought process. He doesn't almost see them as the first line and the second line. You know, he think, you know, it's two equitable lines. They're both on all three lines produce, they all amalgamate perfectly well together to form that really superb team. And I genuinely believe we have a superb team this year. Okay, we came unstuck last week in Nottingham. The wheels came off and all the rest. That can happen to anybody. But I genuinely believe that we just tick all the boxes this season.
Well, I think that's six points in two games for Evan Chevrolet shows he's playing on fire tomorrow. A proper professional job for the Giants, taking that win against Edinburgh. Moving on.
Just before you move on, I think it is worth noting that Saturday night, I don't know who the referee was supposed to be, but he never got there because of a cancelled flight. Scott Dalglish refereed the game, and he was superb. Absolutely brilliant. I think Coach and myself spoke about it after the game, but he had a really, really good game, and credit where credit's due.
A man who worked under Murray Hansen for a long time as his linesman, and it's good to see that he's stepping up well. Hopefully we'll see him taken to the referee in a bit more as the seasons go on. But speaking of another Scotsman, you got to chat to Colin Shields before the game, Davey, about his initiative in regards to the homeless of Belfast.
Joining us now on A View from the Bridge is no stranger to the show, Giants all-time leading points getter, Colin Shields. Colin, welcome to the show.
How's it going?
Very well, thank you, Colin. It's obviously came out over the last couple of weeks that you've been doing a lot of work with the Welcome Organisation in Belfast. First of all, tell us how you got involved with that.
Yeah, it was just last summer. I was looking to get involved in some charity work in Belfast, and got in contact with the Welcome Organisation, who works with the homeless in Belfast. And it was a charity that, you know, something that people maybe aren't aware of is, you know, pretty big in Belfast. Homelessness is a big deal. And, you know, I was looking to get involved, looking to do something, and they were more than happy to, you know, take me on board and let me do a little bit of voluntary work. And, you know, it's just grown from there. And now we're kind of taking it to the next level.
It's obviously great that, you know, your name, Colin Shields, is associated with Belfast, and all of a sudden you've got 5,000 or 6,000 people that you can bring on board to help out the organisation. What can Belfast Giants fans do to help the homeless going forward here?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a little bit of my idea, but a little bit of Mark Brooks as well, and obviously Todd. So we organised a donation game, which is going to be next Friday the 13th against Fife. And fans can bring old items of clothing, whatever they want, new underwear and socks. Gloves, hats, sleeping bags, whatever you've got that you're not using at home, bring it along, and there'll be people here from the organization who'll collect that at the door, and that'll go towards you know, people that are, you know, sleeping rough or you know, that don't have any clothes or things like that to of their own. And hopefully we can get a lot of stuff from a lot of people and make a difference.
And obviously it's very important to help people out, especially this time of year with Christmas. It's good to get now going forward into 2014. Is there anything fans can do, or that you're going to do yourself going forward, to make this organization even higher profile?
Yeah, I mean, just I know a few of the guys already came down. Jeff Mason's been with me a lot this year going down there. So, I mean, their website's got all the details. If you go to their website, you can check it out. And on the Giants' Facebook, on the Giants' Twitter, there's lots of information about it. And hopefully we can make it pretty visible this week towards the game. And then hopefully come up to Christmas, we can get a lot of donations. And I think they're going to be hopefully pleasantly surprised at the amount of stuff they get, and hopefully it can make a little difference. Because, you know, especially with the holidays, a lot of people don't have family or presents and things like that. And it'll be nice to kind of make a difference for the people that you know, don't have.
How important is it as Belfast Giants players that you, not only the programs that the Giants work themselves, but they just go out. Obviously, you've gone out yourself and find a project to work on.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants do keep us pretty busy. I know there's a lot of obligations that we have to do, but I think sometimes you forget, you know, there is people out there less fortunate than ourselves, and I think it's important to give back. I mean, we do a lot of work in the community with kids and with schools and things like that, but it's good to kind of branch out to something different. And it was an organization I wanted to get involved in because I've, you know, lived in a lot of different places, and it's a big problem around the world, homelessness, and especially here. I think it's one of those things that's not that visible. You don't see a lot of people on the street here, and maybe don't think about it. But there's, you know, there's lots of people in not just in Northern Ireland, but around the UK. They don't have homes, they don't have shelters, so I think it's good to kind of get the team involved and, you know, some of the players, and hopefully that'll kind of raise the profile and hopefully make a difference.
Well, can't let you go without talking a little bit about hockey. Obviously, we're back after an 8-game road swing. Mm-hmm. What are you hoping for tonight? We've obviously a bit of revenge in our mind from dropping those points back up in Edinburgh a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you lose, to drop a game to sort of a lower team in the standings, it kind of leaves a sour taste in your mouth, because those are points that, you know, you can't get back, and points that, you know, could hurt you down the road. But we got 6 out of 8 wins on the road, so we're pretty pleased with that. And, you know, but tonight, this game, we're going to get on them early, you know, play a physical game, get lots of shots on their goalie. The goalie played unbelievable last time we played in Edinburgh, you know, and we're looking to come out hard and hopefully get the 2 points.
And obviously, we're getting towards the midterm report, if you like, coming mm-hmm. towards the halfway point in the season. Giants riding high top of the league, going okay yourself. How do you think the season's gone for yourself and the team so far?
Yeah, I mean, for the team, I don't think you could have, if you said to people at the halfway point, we only have maybe 5 regulation losses, I think, you know, everyone would jump at that. So, you know, it's good we're up in first place right now, but some other teams have some games in hand, but, you know, you'd rather take the points than the games in hand. And we've played well against most of the top teams this year, Cardiff, Sheffield and Coventry, and hopefully we've got 5 more games left against Nottingham, so hopefully we'll get back against them. And we've got a big game against them, I think, at the start of the new year. But I thought we played, apart from that last game against Nottingham, I thought we played well against every team.
And for Colin Shields, it's obviously your third stint mm-hmm. with the Giants. You know, you've been away, you've mm-hmm. played for other teams, you keep coming back to us. Is it finally time to call Belfast home forever?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, you know, where you never want to leave a place that you're happy with, and, you know, it just comes down to sometimes circumstances just, you know, don't make it the right fit at the right time. And but I've always wanted to be a Giant, and I'm really happy to be back and, you know, settled down here and made my roots. And, you know, this is where I want to be and finish my career. So things are going well this year. I got, you know, a couple of great line mates, and I think everyone's kind of been clicking. We've got scoring from all 3 lines this year, and hopefully we can keep it going into the new year.
Well, I think it would be wrong of us not to say thanks to Colin Shields, the player, but Colin Shields, the humanitarian, for looking after the homeless of Belfast. So thanks, Colin, all the best.
Thanks very much. Just hopefully get, like I say, get everyone on board and get lots of donations on Friday, and let's make a difference going up to Christmas.
We'll tweet up all the links for the homeless and Colin for the websites, and let us know what's happening next. Thanks, guys.
Davey, a great chat and a great initiative for Colin Shields to be involved in.
Yeah, everybody, will tweet up the links for the homeless, for the welcome shelters at Homeless Belfast. We'll put up their Facebook page or website, see what you can do to get involved. You can come down this Friday night, as Colin Shields has said there, bring any old gear you've got knocking about, and I'm sure Coach will throw in that old jacket of his from Harrods. And, you know, and you know, if you haven't worn it over a year, get it in the skip down at the Odyssey. Help out someone less fortunate than yourself.
Coach, it's something that Todd Kelman spoke about time and time again as well, with regards to the maybe a legacy of Jim Gillespie's ownership, is that Giants do get involved in these community projects, and it's fantastic to see somebody like Colin Shields leading the way.
Absolutely, and firstly, I thought it was an absolutely superb interview that Davey got from Colin Shields there. You know, he was very open and frank, and some really good questions pointed towards Colin there. And, you know, it's great to hear that. The thing that really stood out for me was what Killer said last week, Paddy. And, you know, Colin was doing that off his own bat. He was doing it behind the scenes. He wasn't promoting it in the dressing room or whatever. And obviously someone has picked up somewhere along the line that he was volunteering down there. And what a fantastic cause. And, you know, sometimes you've been driving through town some nights, and you know, you see the homeless guys waiting outside some of the shelters, and, you know, trying to get clothes and food and maybe a bed for the night. And, you know, it breaks your heart driving past. And, you know, anything that we as people can do to help people, you know, in essence, you know, we should be doing it. And I completely expect it. Anytime the Belfast Giants fans are asked to do this type of thing, Paddy, the Giants are always phenomenal, whether it be teddy bear tosses and all the rest. Whatever it is, the Giants fans support it. And I have no doubt on Friday night, whenever we walk into the Odyssey Arena, I guarantee you there'll be thousands of people that will be bringing in thousands of items for the homeless.
Absolutely. Phil, get into your cupboard. Anything you haven't worn in over a year, fill up a black bag and take it down with you this weekend for that initiative. Something else that's happening this weekend is what the Giants are calling Pack the O. And it brings the return of superfan Cameron Hughes, a guy who was here last season and sort of appeared and started throwing t-shirts into the crowd. A guy has some great energy. And I got to speak to him earlier on. I started off by asking him, you know, how do you start a career in being a super fan?
Well, I was the crazy guy in high school. When I didn't make my high school basketball team, and then when I went to university, my friends dared me to be a little crazy. So I actually carved a watermelon out and put it on my head and put a cape on and started going crazy. And then one night I was at an Ottawa Senators NHL hockey game and nobody was cheering and I was actually upset. So I stood up on my chair and started to go wild, and the fans, you know, luckily eventually responded. And, you know, 19 years later and 1,100 events later, I'm still doing it.
1,900 years. So the Ottawa Senators invited you back to do it again?
Yeah, after I did it, I got up another time throughout the game, and then the team came up to me and asked me, you know, to come back, and it was this sort of like, I was trying to figure out what to do with my life, and I didn't really know what was happening, and, you know, they were just like, hey, do you want to come back? I'm like, well, what would you want me to come back and do? And they're like, well, get the crowd pumped. I'm like, okay. And it just kind of evolved.
Well, I was going to say, it's like you said, you didn't know what you were going to do with your life. It's not really a career path that many of us think of when we're going through school.
No, I mean, it really isn't. And, you know, the way I see it, I'm a sports entertainer. You know, the fans of the Belfast Giants, they're the super fans, and I'm the sports entertainer. And, you know, I never thought in a million years that, you know, for one, I'd be in Belfast performing. For two, I would have been doing this for so many years. Even doing it, you know, it wasn't something I set out to do. I've always been, you know, there's a certain moment in my life where I became fearless and, you know, having fun with people, but never did I say, okay, I'm going to go that way, you know, like an actor or movie star or comedian does, you know?
And you've done NFL, CFL, Major League Baseball, you know, NHL. What do you think it is that makes people get behind you? You know, I'm sure you jump up and they see you dancing about, but what do you think it is that make people get enthused to join in?
You know, I think I'm just the spark. I'm the guy that says, you know what, I'm just going to go for it, and I really hope you play along with me. And I kind of provide that sort of thing that maybe all of us want at some point at a game, where we're like, okay, let's get behind the team, let's cheer someone on, and oh, look at that crazy guy. If he's doing it, maybe I could do it. And, oh, look, he's not really that good of a dancer, but he's goofy, and he's not afraid, so why should I be afraid, you know?
Yeah.
And I think also, you know, free T-shirts.
Everybody loves a free T-shirt.
Exactly. No, I mean, I ultimately show them something they've never seen. And when the first time I came here for the Giants, they'd never seen me. I'd never been here, and you know, that's my goal, is to show them something, the fans, something they've never seen, and try to create a, you know, really an electric atmosphere by just bringing people together.
You must have some great experiences over the years. One that I've noticed is when you met Novak Djokovic at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, I met him after a match. He called me out, and we had a dance-off in the hallway. And this year, I have to say, actually, the same thing happened with Rafa Nadal. He was interviewed at Center Court, and he mentioned me, and so I went and met with him. We didn't have a dance-off because I think he was a little too tired after his match. But, you know, I'm super fortunate to, you know, to get to perform at the U.S. Open. And then when things like that happen, it's, you know, for me, it's the icing on the cake. And, you know, when I came to Belfast last January, I thought it was going to be fun. It was going to be just a weekend with, you know, a hockey team and, you know, over in Europe. And, you know, here I am, you know, less than a year later, back for two more games.
Fantastic. You see the energy that you put into it every game, and the dancing about that you do, and the throwing the t-shirts again. It must take its toll on you yourself, you know, injuries and and just exhaustion, because you put everything into it.
Yeah, I definitely have to, you know, watch, you know, the physical elements. I've been to the hospital, I think, 8 times, and I have to stretch and warm up and make sure that I'm in good, you know, reasonably good shape. Mm-hmm. You know, those stairs can get you. But, you know, I also, like, I get back what the fans give me.
Mm-hmm. And so then you're back in Belfast for another two games. It's the Pack the O initiative.
I'm back in Belfast. You know, I was talking with Todd, and we're like, what can we do that would be really fun for the fans, and what can we do that would be, you know, a bit different? And we said, let's get the fans behind an initiative to get new people out, to get friends that have always wanted to come to a Giants game out, and to get their other friends out that are fans of the Giants for this weekend. You know, it's leading up into Christmas. The team's, you know, doing really well. Number one, it's a back-to-back weekend, a big rivalry. So that's when Todd and said, you know what, Cameron, you want to come out? And I was like, absolutely, couldn't wait. So that's what we're doing.
And the team are really getting behind you. I saw earlier on a video you did with Adam Keefe. It seemed that it needed a few takes.
Yeah, we had a good time. Adam's a great guy. I've kept in touch with him since I last met him. And that's also one of the great things that I'm able to do is, you know, meet different, not only players, but fans. And you get to keep in touch with different people you meet. And you go to, you know, they invite you for coffees or ask if they can take you for tours. And I love that element of it. Just, you know, you're lucky to be able to meet different people across the world.
And for those guys that didn't see you the last time that you were here, what should fans expect from Cameron Hughes when he takes to the stage?
Well, I expect a little crazy in the stands. Expect a lot of weird dancing. Expect a lot of crowd interaction. Expect a lot of noise. You know, and the other thing that I really want is, like I said before, I'm the spark. We want the fans getting behind this, and I just want to be someone that helps push that in different elements and get other people to, you know, to empower them to get up, to get crazy, to get loud behind the team. And look, obviously, like guys like Keith and all these guys have been playing for a long time, they want to come out to a loud arena. It helps them. And they're, you know, they love the Giants fans. And you know, I was only here for two games, and I've learned to love the Giants fans really easily. There's a lot of passion here.
Well, if you want to catch a sneak peek of what Cameron does, you can go to his website, mynameiscameronhughes.com, and he's on Twitter at Cameron Cheers. Cameron, we really look forward to seeing you this weekend. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, and you know what we should do?
What?
Pack the O.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much, mate. Thanks, cheers.
And thanks to Cameron for coming on. The guy certainly has a lot of energy. You and me didn't get to see him. I don't think any of us got to see him the last time he was here. I know that yourself and myself, Coach, we were in Germany, and I don't think you were at the game, Davey, were you?
No.
When he was here last time. I have seen
a
lot.
He was in Wales.
He was in Wales. I have seen a lot of the videos on YouTube, and it's interesting, I have to say. He just basically dances like a buck agent. It's like it's basically like watching Jacko on a load of pints. But it'd be really interesting. It's great that the Giants, Davey, are pushing this. Now, I think that when you got back-to-back games like this, you bring him, okay, he's an entertainer, maybe a bit of a clown to entertain in between breaks. But, well, that's what it is, you know, and he's made a career out of that. It will bring in a certain type of fan, but that's exactly what the Giants need. You need to bring these fans into the arena.
Is that a question?
Yes.
as someone famously said.
Yes, Corey Nielsen, it is.
I had a bit of an epiphany on Saturday night when I was chatting to somebody at the Odyssey about the makeup of the Giants crowd. And there's probably, in a crowd of what was close on 5,000, it was pointed out to me there's probably only 500 maybe there that really, really deep down care and really get the Giants and want the result, want the win. And it affects them when they don't. You know, we spoke last week when we got beat by the Panthers. I was talking to Coach at 2 o'clock in the morning because I couldn't sleep. I was that cross about it. But you take away them, then there's your balance of season ticket holders. I think it's about 1,200 or something this season. There's 700 season ticket holders that really, really want the win. But, you know, if we don't, it doesn't really get under their skin too much to go home, but to come back the next game. And then you've got your other, you know, 4,000 people that don't really care at all. They're there for the entertainment. If the Giants win, so be it. If they don't, we've had a good night out. And that's what the Giants are trying to cater for. They're trying to make sure that the other 4,000 people get a really, really good night's entertainment. And, you know, Cameron Hughes is part of that. And, you know, firing T-shirts into the crowd out of a big gun's part of that. And giving away, you know, guess what I smell? You know, all that sort of giveaways is about the game night entertainment. And if one person from that suddenly becomes one of the 500 and two and three, that's what you've got to aim for. But you've got to entertain those 4,000 or 5,000 people to make them make the 500 bigger, and then the 500 becomes bigger and the atmosphere gets better and more people come. And it's just a self-fulfilling thing that eventually you've got a bigger crowd of people that care about the score, and it puts pressure on the Odyssey and the general manager and the coach to put a better team out there. And it's, you know, it's something that's just keeps growing year on year.
It is something, Coach, that in years gone by, we've looked at players that have come in to maybe entertain Sean McMorrow, jumps to mind, you know, fight a night, and a guy who maybe didn't have the skill, but he was there to basically cater for the people that wanted to see a digging match on a Saturday night. And that's had some success, and maybe not so much when the team didn't perform as well. When you bring in guys like that, the Giants are really trying to develop that match night experience.
Very much so, and you know, it's something that Todd and Robert Fitzpatrick and all the guys within the organization have spoken about, and Robert Fitzpatrick especially has, you know, and more, Davey got to meet him on Saturday night there for the first time, and a more passionate man you could not wish to meet about this organization. And, you know, him and Killer working together there, it's only bright things ahead. And Robert is massively into, giving everything that the fans want and need, and giving them no excuses whatsoever for whenever they leave the arena that they cannot say, we've had a really good night. Now, see, for me personally, Paddy, and I know I'll probably speak on behalf of you two as well, I couldn't give a damn about all the peripheral type stuff. I personally don't give a damn about a guy jumping up and down the aisles and pizza's been thrown out everywhere. But it's got the stage. I don't even notice it anymore. I am there. I'm one of those 500, in essence, I'm sure you guys are as well, that goes to watch the hockey. But see, my daughter, whenever we're leaving the Odyssey Arena after a game, she's the first person to tell me about Stevie Robinson and the sub-man outfit, Stevie jumping around in his cowman outfit, you know, face painters, pizzas. She's the first one up and down screaming. I don't even notice it half the time. But, you know, you have to cater for all. And the hockey is there for the hockey, as Robert Fitzpatrick would say, the hockey aficionados. He, you know, we're watching that. The peripheral things, as Davey quite rightly says, there are other people there who deep down maybe don't have a massive, massive interest in the hockey, but the Giants are now catering for all of those people coming through. And if we can get some of those people who are on the periphery of supporting the club to become more full-time supporters, happy days.
If social services are listening, that was Neil Russell admitting that he doesn't pay any attention to his daughter. I agree with you, Coach. I think that, you know, that is something that is part of the match night. Yeah, listen, I've spent enough time in Whitley Bay to know that when it's bare bones and the team doesn't have very much money to develop the game night, all you've got on the ice, and if the product on the ice doesn't suit, then you're not going to bring in the crowds. And unfortunately for the Newcastle Vipers, that's exactly what happened. They didn't have the money to have this game night experience and turn it into what would be a great place to go on a Saturday night. Yes, it's all down to the game on the ice and what we want to watch, but there has to be so much around it to try to bring in those other people. And that's what this is. And fair play to Cameron Hughes. He's developed a career out of it, basically jumping up and down like a buck agent. That's brilliant. Anyway, right, guys, we'll move on quickly, and we'll have another quick scout around the league. I'm going to bring up a subject from last week, Matt Suderman. Now, he gave it the big one. He started, you know, the reason I'm leaving is this, that, and the other. We spoke about how it sounded like he wanted to go skiing, but Coach, he went off to the CHL and he joined the Brampton Beast. It was all a ruse.
Nearly even worse. Like, we talked last week and I kind of said it came across to me like he was just making an excuse and almost had fallen out of love with the game. But even worse than that, he's kind of stitched up the whole Stingrays, hasn't he? Mm. You know, I'm leaving for personal reasons. You know, I don't like this and I don't like that. I'm going to take some time out. I'm going to be up in the Rocky Mountains skiing away here. And sorry, lads, actually, the second I step off the plane, I've joined the Brampton Beast. You know, like, come on. Yeah, it's just terrible. And Hull Stingrays, quite rightly, in my opinion, were very quick to put out a press release saying they were incredibly disappointed with their captain for doing what he did. Listen, who knows, Paddy, what goes on behind the scenes? We all know certain things happen at times and words are said and personalities clash and all that type of stuff. But for him to have come out so vociferously in the press and kind of slating Hull, their fans, the setup, the league, the referees, you know, for him then just jump off a plane and go and bugger off and join another club, I just think it's terrible.
Davey, we've had it ourselves when players have departed mid-season to go on and join another club. You think of Sean Behrens, you think of Brock McBride, guys who've maybe had an offer that was more suited to them financially, circumstantially. But you have to do it with a certain amount of class. And Matt Suderman made no friends in this league by doing what he did.
Well, he's probably burnt certainly his bridges at Hull, and if there's another team that would be willing to take a chance on them, I don't know who it would be. You know, he's clearly had that deal set up before he left these fine shores, and poor form from him and feel a bit sorry for the club that he's let down, you know, whether or not he did get a bit of chirping on social media, so what, you know, take it on the chin, reply back, don't reply back, delete your Twitter, do what Coach does, you know, and it's just...
Never deleted my Twitter in my life.
It's
what are you talking about?
Are you sure?
What is that all about?
And, well... it's poor form from him, you know, but it's done now, so Hull move on. Hull have brought in cover, and good luck to them.
We also clear what happened this week. Some of the big points was from 4-2 up, the Coventry Blaze on Sunday night conceded 5 unanswered third period goals in under 10 minutes to the Fife Flyers to lose 7-4. We'll come back to Fife in a short while. And Brayhead were this week's Premier Sports winners. Great atmosphere up there in the Brayhead Arena for them to defeat the Cardiff Devils. And the main thing, I'll start with yourself, Coach. The main comment I want you to make is Brent Pope's hat.
He's getting more and more unique every week, that guy, isn't he? I've said it before, he's a bit of an eccentric, is Brent. And it seems if, I don't know, maybe he's trying to attract a bit of attention on himself. He probably is. To get on like that, it's a bit random for me, and I'm not sure I'd want Paul Leary to be kind of attracting attention like that. I'd prefer to see a brilliant product on the ice. But listen, Brent's, as I say, a bit eccentric, so there you go.
And a great atmosphere up in Brayhead, Davey.
Yeah, it's an arena that, you know, if you were to try and, if your club was small enough that was the sort of crowd you were attracting, it would be a great way arena to have. They're boisterous. I believe there's a big crowd of them expected over Christmas in Belfast. They always make a good tune when they're here. And you know, it's another great performance from the Premier Sports guys. Lust fitted in perfectly there. Murph's been very fortunate. Some of the guests he's had co-commentating with him have been superb. And, you know, that Premier Sports going from strength to strength. It's a pity that the rest of UK hockey sort of, what would you call them, voices wouldn't just throw their weight behind it, and quite a weight it could be.
I have no idea what you're aiming at there, Davey. Quickly before we move on, just have a quick look at the league table. Belfast are heading it up, 33 points from 22 games. Brayhead, 29 points from 20 games in second. And then you've got Dundee, Nottingham and Sheffield, third, fourth and fifth. We spoke earlier on to Craig Anderson. With the game coming up against the Fife Flyers, we wanted to have a chat about how things were going in the Gardiner Conference, and Craig joined us earlier on. Right, with the game last weekend against the Edinburgh Capitals and the forthcoming game against the Fife Flyers, well, we needed to go to the man who knew it all, knows it all about Scottish hockey, especially in the Elite League, a man no stranger to the podcast, Mr. Craig Anderson. How you
Hello.
Doing, sir? You all right?
Not bad, yeah. Thanks for having me on.
No problem, mate. You've been a bit busy the last couple of days with the World Championships going on in Dumfries.
Yeah, well, sort of busy. I'm not there, sadly. I couldn't make it down through work and other things, but I'm keeping an eye on it from where I am, so...
It's great that that's there, considering that the with it being it's the under-20s, isn't it? It's the with regards to the profile of hockey in Scotland, and with the Stanley Cup arriving today, that sort of an event being taking place in Dumfries is fantastic for the sport.
It's absolutely phenomenal. I was hoping to get down, obviously, because it's pretty much on my doorstep. I'm near Glasgow, so it's a good bit away from my doorstep, if you know what I mean. But yeah, it's certainly increased ice hockey a little bit these last few days. And as you pointed out, the arrival of the Stanley Cup today, and that should get some coverage in the press tomorrow.
Mm. And looking at this, we'll just go see how the teams in the Gardiner Conference are going. We've just had a game against the Edinburgh Capitals, and it was a win for the Belfast Giants, but not before a game that was in Murrayfield where we were defeated by the Capitals. Now, the Capitals themselves have been a bit resurgent of late. What do you think's brought that on?
I think, you know, Richard Hartman spoke to me a while back about looking to try and find the thing that made things go right for them last year. And I think he's finally found that. Whatever that is, I've absolutely no idea. But it was clear that certain players they brought in weren't doing the job. It was that Martin Luchka went pretty swiftly, as did Les Rainey, who was very badly unfit, it's fair to say. But bringing in Marcus Zembergs maybe gives them that little bit of balance that perhaps they were missing before. Jan Safar's weighed in with some crucial goals recently also. They're still a long way from replacing Rennie Ireland. They've still not found that guy that can really make the difference for Edinburgh, but they're certainly going the right way about it.
Craig, I was just wondering with regards to the Edinburgh Capitals. It always seems to be that Edinburgh start off very poorly, always maybe start the season off with a few imports light. You know, why is that from an Edinburgh Capitals perspective that they seem to start off with lower numbers? And it seems to take them until kind of November time to kind of creep into the season.
It seems to be, well, it's common knowledge that Edinburgh tend to do their business late in the summer, so it takes that bit longer for the guys to gel as a unit. Maybe they're better starting the season in July, so by the time September starts, they're fully ready to go. I don't know. That's the only thing I can put that down to, the fact that they do their business so late in the day. Even when the season starts, there's still guys coming in, there's still guys arriving, so they're not quite at full strength. But yeah, as you pointed out, November this year, same as November last year, suddenly they've kicked on a gear and suddenly they're not the pushovers that perhaps they once were in September and October.
With regards to Dundee, Dundee went off to a bit of a flyer at the start of the season. Now they've sort of levelled off, but they're still riding high in the Elite League. We've been chatting a bit back and forward with regards to their fortunes and can they keep up this great run. And I think, Davey, you were ones that said they seemed a bit light on D. Craig, what's your take on the Dundee Stars? Do you think that, given how strong they were early season, that can continue for them?
Well, funny you talk about Dundee. I spoke to Jeff Hutchins last night. He was one of my interviewees for Powerplay magazine this week. Talking about why Dundee have done so well, considering that we're now into December, a third month where they're still hanging around at the top half of the table. The way Jeff put it down to is the fact that they've not went on a significant losing run. They haven't lost three or four games at any point this season. They're still churning out points, as you saw on Sunday down at Cardiff. They are missing components in that D block, which is something he is looking to fill in at some point. They were badly let down by Jordan Southern. For whatever reason he gave, that he couldn't be at the club after only a couple of weeks, whether it be family or anything else, that really badly affected him in terms of finances as well. But no, Dundee have certainly come on leaps and bounds. It's great to see them up there, to be honest, and I think Jeff Hutchins has certainly learned whatever lessons from last season and mistakes that he's made, and it's something he's been quite open with. Whether they can stay up there, well, we've still got 2 or 3 months of the season left to go. So I'd love to see them up there personally. I think it's great seeing them up there. It's great seeing any Scottish team up there, I suppose. But the fact that Dundee are really roughing up some of the big boys has been quite good.
Craig, is it fair to say, you know, the Gardner Conference gets a bit of a bad rap that, you know, the quality isn't maybe as good as the Urquhart Conference, but, you know, there's some players there within that would grace the Gardner or the Urquhart Conference, no problem. You know, your Ed McGrains, Lane Weber, Sachetti, you know, all real top-end players.
Yeah, I agree. There's been some real stars come through in this conference this year. Even there's one or two guys at Hull that certainly catch the attention. excuse me. I would certainly agree with that. They're finding guys across the board that are scoring points, causing problems for your top-end teams, that are catching the eye of fans of other teams as well. It's been great. It really has. And whether the conference system has led to the fact that there's more parity among the teams this year, I don't know. That's maybe a discussion for another night. But I would certainly say it's having its benefits.
Yeah, you think that that Gardner Conference is getting a lot stronger, considering how much you look at Belfast, Nottingham, Coventry have all fallen foul when they've went north of the border. So maybe not parity, but certainly it's led to a stronger Gardner Conference.
Yeah, I mean, we saw how strong the conference was last year. It went literally to the right to the last game. Even then, it was, you know, we still weren't sure who was going to qualify for the playoffs in that top spot. but no, it's fascinating watching, and certainly from my point of view, it makes my job a lot easier.
With regards to the Brayhead Clan, now, I think there's been a lot of chat in regards to, I think it was last season when they looked at the restructuring of the leagues, that Brayhead, if they were to put together a very strong team, they would more or less have not a free reign or a free run at the league championship, but many people said they might have an easier run because the likes of Fife, Dundee or Hull were expected to be, on Edinburgh, were expected to be weaker teams. Now, Brayhead are land second in the league. They are playing really well, really consistently under Ryan Finnerty. This season, it probably does look like they're going to have a real challenge to the Elite League title. Do you think that's brought on because of they're in the Gardner Conference, or do you feel that that's irrelevant?
No, I see the point you're making, and I suppose I can agree with that to a certain extent. Brayhead have got, dare I say, a bigger budget over those other teams, which perhaps makes life that little bit easier. But then we saw last year, all sorts of things went wrong with that team last year, despite the bigger budget. There was so much, I mean, so much of the revolving door thing going on, players leaving, new guys coming in, the changing coach halfway through the season. It needed to change at Brayhead, and they've done that. They've restructured the club on and off the ice. Ryan Finnerty, as I understand it, has full control of team affairs, which is good. He brings in the guys he wants. If it's within the budget, they come in. We've seen that recently. They brought in Neil Trim and Joe Cullen, who have been real assets to the team. Cullen's been scoring goals from D, which has been good to watch. Trim has scored, I think, at least a point in every game he's been in. That's just off the top of my head. So there's certainly a lot of change in Brayhead. Has certainly done them the world of good at this stage, and you know they're certainly starting to get there.
And Craig, just finally, from a Brayhead perspective, I had a chat with Ryan Finnerty for A View from the Bridge and Giants Live at the start of the season, and he was very clear that this club, this move to Brayhead, you know, has kind of transformed him in a lot of ways, and it's a kind of the first team that he feels that he's taken full ownership of. And I know you kind of touched on it there, but you know, Finnerty seems to have made a real difference. He seems to have been a real catalyst for Brayhead turning their fortunes around from last season.
Yeah, definitely. I think with Ryan going, you know, taking on that Sheffield job, it might have been maybe a job too big for him so early in his coaching career. Maybe an emerging team, in inverted commas, like Brayhead is maybe the job that he was looking for, where in this instance he has the control of the team. He's got the contacts out there to bring the guys in that he's looking for. I think he seems very happy. Every time I speak to him, he's happy, he's relaxed, he's enjoying the job, he's enjoying the challenges that's coming his way. You know, they had up to, was it 5 or 6 players out recently, so he had to rejig the lines a wee bit. They were still picking up points here and there, wins in the unlikeliest of places. Ryan's loving the challenge. It seems clear to me that he said to me from the start he'd like to be here in a couple of years. He's got a plan. He wants to see that plan through.
And then it would be amiss of us not to talk about the Fife Flyers, who come to the Odyssey Arena this Friday night to take on the Belfast Giants. Now, they come off an absolutely phenomenal result down in Coventry, where they obliterated the Blaze in the third period. Fife again, another team with some really great players and some really big players when you look at Nickerson. They're also doing very well. What do you think that the Giants can expect this weekend with the Fife Flyers coming to town?
Fife, they should be seeing, Belfast should be seeing a team that's got higher in confidence. I mean, those two wins at the weekend is the first, well, only the second time this season, excuse me, they've actually won over a full weekend. The comeback against Coventry was fantastic. Not many teams can go there, 2 goals down, and then scorch 5 goals in the third period and really turn the game on its head.
Sorry to interrupt. Do you think that was unexpected?
Speaking personally, I thought it was unexpected. Fife this season have been so inconsistent that they've been chopping and changing with personnel as well. Last week they released Rock Padgett. Rock Padgett left, so I mean they've had their problems as well in terms of finding consistency, finding someone with that killer touch in front of goal, even level of performances. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the videos with Todd Dutton and Danny Stewart, but they've been, you know, I wouldn't say pretty scathing, but critical of the way the team have been playing. To the point where they threaten to make changes.
I'll just jump in with a question then. With you being closer to Brayhead now than you've probably been over a number of years, do you think Brayhead really made an error in letting Bobby Shimon go?
Right, let me see. Well, let's look at it last season. I think Bobby Shimon's release, I think, might have caused a lot of problems. I don't know that for a fact. I'm purely speculating. But I think when you look at Brayhead's problems from then on and the whole of last season, I think it could stem for that. Ryan Campbell, if you remember, was released at that same time as well. But Ryan had struggled with injury. He had problems getting his visa before he even arrived. So Ryan Campbell's release wasn't really so much of a surprise. Bobby's was, insofar as he'd been scoring points, scoring goals, and everything that bad and negative that happened to Brayhead last season seemed to stem from that. Whether that caused a lot of discord in the dressing room, I have absolutely no idea. John Krstanovic was never willing to speak about it and give his side of things, which might say more than was actually said at the time. But I think they're over that now. Bobby went to Fife last year. He'd done a fantastic job for them this year. He's maybe taken a bit of time this year in hitting the scoring touch. That said, he scored some goals at the weekend there. So, you know, he still offers something. And perhaps Fife was the right team for him.
So when we look ahead, we were talking about how the strong the Garner Conference have been going. Just wrap it up by asking you, you know, last season we spoke and we were hoping that maybe a Scottish team would make it to the playoff Final Four. Do you think the way that the Gardner Conference is getting stronger, that is a real possibility this season?
I think as the weeks go on and you see the results coming in, I think it's more and more likely. Whoever that's going to be, I don't know. And from a freelance journalist point of view, I don't care. I'd just love to see a Scottish team down there that weekend. Really make my job worthwhile anyway. But we've seen some of the results that have come in. Can Dundee still be up there by the end of the season? I don't know. It just depends what kind of business they do. If they can bring in a really good D-man and shore up that defence a wee bit, then anything's possible, I suppose. And you could say that a lot and a lot for the other teams as well. It depends on where everybody else finishes. But if I can, as a Scot, if I can see one team down in Nottingham next year, I'll be a very happy man.
Fantastic. Well, as always, it's great talking to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
And thanks again to Craig. Davey?
Yes?
Twitter questions time.
Well, we're out through a few here. One that's quite topical because we spoke about it earlier in the show. It comes from Jack O'Gaz, our good friend. Jacko, does the panel think that spending money on some mad dancing man, I assume he's talking about Cameron Hughes, is it value for money considering we were playing two imports short? Would the money have been better spent on injury cover? And I'll throw that straight to you, Paddy.
Well, I'm quite surprised at Jacko because Jacko's quite an intelligent guy and we know he knows his hockey well and he's been part of following the Giants for many, many years. And he knows that if Paul Leddy's got a budget to spend, that is the player's budget to spend and he's going to spend it correctly. The Odyssey Trust themselves at the start of this season said they were going to develop the match night experience at the Odyssey Arena. And they've done that with new scoreboards either side. They've done that with investment. And this has obviously been, the money for this has obviously been taken from that. Cameron Hughes has been brought in to help develop, okay, maybe for two nights only, but to help develop that match night experience that we spoke about earlier in the show. So I've no issue with the Giants spending their money on that because I'm sure budget-wise it's not being taken away from anywhere. Looking at the team and talking about injury cover, well, we spoke to Paul Eddy and there's been interviews all the way through that road swing with regards to how Mason and Lloyd were getting on. And time again, it came back as uncertain. They're going to skate this week. They might be back next week on a day today. So I'd like to think that Paul Eddy is in contact with his general manager, is in contact with the owners and saying, we've lost him for a couple of weeks, so we need to bring in injury cover. It's not a case of, no, let's not spend money on the match night. We've got to spend money on injury cover. They're totally separate things. And I don't think it's something that we need to be worrying about personally.
I got that, coach.
Yeah, I know. I agree with everything that Paddy has said. The other aspect of Jacko's question, which was to do with the import, I have to say, I know I went recording three or four podcasts ago and I highlighted this. I would be massively in favour of us doing another Ryan Crane. If you look at it, Ryan Crane came in that season that we won the championship. He came in knowing that he was going to be the spare import. Ryan Crane ended up playing, I think, the guts of 45 to 50 matches for the Belfast Giants that season due to the volume of injuries. We have played how many games this season? 22. Mm-hmm. I would have said if we carried an extra import, that guy, that spare import, probably would have played 14, 15 games maybe out of those 23 games.
I don't know. I don't think we've had that many injuries. Well, suspensions wouldn't have allowed that to happen. See, so.
Well, certainly Lloyd and Mason have missed the last seven games, six, seven games, minimum. I threw that out there, saying 14, 15 games. I couldn't tell you how many man games we've missed due to injury. But, you know, we've had the odd guy out with injury or with a niggle or whatever. Maybe it's not as many as 14 or 15, but he certainly would have played at least, in my opinion, 9 or 10 games.
See,
so
you
far.
Might... You might be right there, Coach, because the other thing that you can't quantify there is players playing hurt. You know, that would have the ability to be, you know,
arrested.
A slightly healthy scratch, if you like, you know, we'll be able to give them the night off if they're carrying a knock, but you know, they're playing through the pain barrier here at the minute for the team.
Yeah, I just thought it worked incredibly well, and I would love to see Ennis been able to afford to do it in the future.
I would just want to say one more thing before we move on to the next one, is that with referred to the what was described by Jacko as the crazy dancing man, I think that there's a lot of grumpiness going about, mostly between our mates. I know I was talking to Marty McAllister earlier today, and I know Aaron Kernan's no big fan of Cameron Hughes, and Jacko obviously there's got his opinions. To me, the guy just does what he does. It's not part of what the game we're watching. If you want to watch the game, you watch the game. If you want to enjoy what Cameron Hughes does as part of it, then you enjoy that. It's not really going to affect you. I'm quite happy for Cameron Hughes to get involved. And if Aaron's at the game on Saturday night, I'm going to get him to dance with him. And Jago.
I agree completely with you. And listen, those guys deep down, I think, would appreciate the fact that the Giants are trying to cater for everybody that's in that arena there, or certainly the non-hockey aficionados, as it were, the die-hard hockey people. Mm-hmm. I won't even barely notice it on Saturday night or Friday night, to be honest with you. I'll probably see him jumping up and down, but I'll still be watching the blinking hockey. So, you know, let the guy go and do what he does, and let the kids enjoy it, and let the other adults enjoy it.
Right. Another question from our good friend Jago was, with Roberts Fitzpatrick and the Odyssey Trust talking about getting the glory days back to the Odyssey, what would it take for people like you, like Paddy, Coach, that have been there from day one, season one? You know, what would it take for you for the glory days to be back?
It's interesting, isn't it? Because you talk about, you know, what are the glory days? Well, we've maybe not consistently, but winning championships, but we've always been thereabouts. Maybe only one, two seasons. You take them to the very first season. You take maybe the unfortunate the season that Rob Stewart has hands tied with regards to finances, and maybe one in between that. But we've always been thereabouts, fighting against the Coventry Blaze, fighting against the Sheffield Steelers, fighting against the Nottingham Panthers, and we've won championships. And there's never been a long lean period for you to say that we, you know, that the glory days are gone. So, success-wise, I wouldn't say, you know, it would be championships or whatever. I think what Robert Fitzpatrick is talking about is the days you're talking about right back at the start, when we were talking about 7,000 people in the Odyssey Arena and the place was absolutely pumping. You talk about the Challenge Cup final, which was an unfortunate loss to the Ayr Scottish Eagles. But again, the Odyssey Arena full. These bring these fans back that remember the days when to watch the Giants. Okay, it was a bit of a novelty, but it was also a full arena with a great atmosphere. And to me, that's what our glory days were. Success wide on the ice, I think our glory days are still with us. We haven't had a lean period, but with regards to the atmosphere and the whole ethos of the club, I think getting that arena packed again would bring back, you know, when the Giants really made a... Well, I think it was Todd Kelman said last week about how it was funny that they were considered superstars in Belfast back in the early days of the Giants. They were on the news all the time. That was when the Giants were at the forefront of anything. You know, they were on the news every day. It was talked about. I think that's what we're aiming for.
Again, I agree with Paddy. I think there's probably a couple of things in there to bring back the glory days, so to speak, and to bring crowds back more consistently. You know, we had, for an Edinburgh Capitals game, albeit we're on the road for the guts of 5 weeks, we had 5,200 at that game, I think it was, on Saturday night. And, you know, that's a fantastic achievement against the Edinburgh Capitals. But that aside, to try and get those numbers, like your 6,000-7,000 people back on a consistent basis, for me, I am not sure that it will ever fully happen like that, but it's getting better year on year. The overall standard of the league is improving again year on year, but it's never going to get back to that Super League era. Let's be honest about it. And that Super League era was phenomenal. I sit and watch the odd YouTube clips of playoff wins at Corey Carlander team in Nottingham. The speed, the physicality, the skill sets were just phenomenal, you know, and it's just not the same. And I have already, as a diehard fan, kind of begrudgingly accepted the fact that it's never going to be like that again. But there are fans out there who I know personally, that's it. I just can't get into the Elite League at all. The standard's just not good enough. So how do we attract those types of people back? Well, for me, it's a selling job. The fans have to buy into it. The fans have to encourage. I constantly try and encourage old friends of mine who used to go to come back, give it another chance. This team is a good team that we have had. You're 100% right. We've never fallen away to 7th or 8th place. We've always been challenging, but the overall standard of the league is getting more and more competitive, and our team over the last few years has been very good to watch, and this season in particular I think has been excellent to watch. The one other thing very quickly that I'll wrap up on, and I don't care what anybody says, it's ice hockey, and to the layman on the street who comes into the Odyssey Arena to watch the Belfast Giants play, the first thing that you think about instantly when you mention ice hockey is fighting. Fighting has practically gone from the Elite League, Paddy and David. In my opinion, it is practically gone. And that is something that I don't care what you say. The nights when Ed Courtney lost a rag, the nights of Paxton Schulte used to drop the gloves 2 or 3 times in a game, you know, Chambers could probably rhyme off another 100 incidents over the years. I'm not talking about a Sean McMorrow type player, but I'm just talking about the overall intensity within the game. For me, it's just that side of it has kind of dropped away, and I think that has affected bringing in those types of fans who could then in turn become long-term fans again.
Good answers, boys. I'll move on. At BFG 14, who is, in your opinion, the best import to have played in the Elite League?
Theron Fleury.
Well, no, he did put a rider on that. Theo accepted. Sorry.
I'll let Coach go first.
I'm going to instantly go with the person that came to my mind, and that was Jason Ruff. I know people turn around and say that's a Belfast Giants thing. Yes, but for me, it was. David Ling last year, I thought was absolutely unreal. He was the choir master for the Nottingham Panthers in everything that he did the second he stepped on the ice. But I'm going to go with Jason Ruff.
Am I allowed to go for people like Drew Miller or...
I just say about Drew Miller, you know, Drew Miller's a good hockey player on a third, fourth checking line for Detroit. Is Drew Miller the best, you know, really?
No, there have been better when you think about through the years. Like, there were some absolutely great players all through the Elite League. When you go right back, you look at that Coventry team and some absolutely stunning forwards. Like, you remember Adam Calder?
Mm-hmm. Dan Carlson,
fantastic players to watch.
Neil Martin,
British Hockey Hall of Famer Neil Martin. there have been fun. I'd probably go back to one of those. Probably Neil Martin for me is one of the best that I've ever watched with regards to. And you don't really get many in that position, you know, being considered so great. But Neil Martin was so dominant in what he did; it was absolutely superb to watch. And then you look at, you know, the guys who made a name for themselves, the real characters of the game. It pains me to say, but somebody like Jade Galbraith, a guy with some great hands, great character of the game. Brad Voth, a man who's, you know, everybody, it doesn't matter what league in British hockey, everybody knew the name of Brad Voth because of what he did and what he brought to the Cardiff Devils. But yeah, those type of guys were certainly some of the best that we've ever seen outside of the NHLers.
For me, and I've it written down here, Coach, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, Jason Ruff, for me, and you know I'm a Ruff fan, but you know, for me, he had everything. He had size, he had skill, he had goals, he had the physicality. He just had it all, and I think Todd Kelman might have said it, it might have been in his interview last week, Jason Ruff was the best player in the ISL, and he was the best player in the Elite League as well. So
I remember, on Jason Ruff, I remember good friend Tambo, who I saw at the weekend there down at the Manchester Phoenix. I remember him coming over with Ayr, and I think he was with the Scottish Eagles at the time as well, where he looked at Jason Ruff play, and he says, that guy is pain in the arse. He says he's absolutely, he's rubbish. He shouldn't be lighting up the lamp here. He should be lighting it up in the NHL, and I don't know what he's doing here.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. Fantastic player.
Right, here, we'll move on. Kevy B, 0712. What import would you like to see in a Giants shirt? But we've added a bit of a rider on to the end of it. That you have to gas one of the current players to bring them in.
That's harsh. Well, right.
I don't know if I want
to... I go first. I know coaches, you know, you don't... You, it's a fantasy game. You can do it. My answer would be that we're currently sitting riding high top of the league, and we've got a very well balanced three lines. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't change for any other player in our league.
But that's not the question.
No, the question is.
That's not an answer to the question.
He does a couple of interviews, and all of a sudden he's. And I love every player on our team.
Get the
splinters out of your backside get off the fence.
My point is I don't believe there's another import within our league that I would currently replace any of our players with. Difference between saying I don't, you know, a David Ling from last year I would replace on our team, but I don't believe there's that X factor player in another team in the elite league that I would want on our team. But who would you do?
You wouldn't want Ryan Janan in your team.
Yeah, but that was exactly where I was going for.
Think he's a sniper.
That's exactly where I was going for. I was going for Ryan Janan, but then you have to drop a centre. So who are you dropping? Who are you dropping? Are you dropping Dustin Whitecutting for Ryan Janan? I don't think you are.
No.
Are you dropping Kevin Surratt playing centre?
I love Kevin Surratt. I think he's superb. But, I would love Ryan Janan. That's all.
Evan Cheverie's dropping in the centre as well. You're dropping Evan Cheverie? Because those two are the change. No, you're not. I do agree with you, Davey. It is difficult to gas a player with regards to it. I think that for me, if we had a blank spot, it would be Ryan Janan in a heartbeat. I think he's phenomenal for the Coventry Blaze. Stats don't lie.
Ryan Janand, sorry to jump in, Paddy, is Ryan Janand another John Pelle that he needs a Scott Matzka? You know, I don't think so.
Ryan Janand is able to create. We've seen it with our own eyes. You know, we saw it in Belfast when they tanked us 5-0. He is a creative player, and he's pulling in both the assists and the goals. He's got, just looking up the stats here, he's got 25 goals and 20 assists.
Yep.
So, you know,
it's phenomenal. That's
in a team that are struggling. Let's make no bones about it. A team that have been struggling. So if you're able to rack up those points, he could walk into any team in the league. Now, absolutely. I agree with you. Our team is very well balanced. But if we had a blank spot, I'd have him.
You haven't answered the question either.
I will say that you added, you'd give the add-on to the question with regards to the gassing. Kevin didn't. Your Honour.
I'm asking the questions here. Coach, come on. I'm going to review one of these questions.
I honestly am doing what you were just doing there 5 minutes ago, probably then. Sitting with splinters on my backside, sitting on the fence. Ryan Janand, I would love to have him a team. Adam Henrik as well, but I think Adam Henrik looks overweight and doesn't look match fit to me, but yet he still pumps in goals and assists for fun. But Ryan Janand is the one player that I would love to have. I can't answer your question to do with what player I would axe, because I genuinely believe, as Paddy said, and I've said this for a few weeks, I genuinely believe each of our lines have amalgamated into a really, really strong unit. I like what we have. It's got the right chemistry on all of the lines.
Can I roll a grenade in here?
Go ahead.
Matt Francis.
Oh.
Slide on. Anyway, next question.
Fantastic, Claire. Fantastic.
We've got enough Panthers. We've got enough Panther association with our club as it is. Right, next question comes from Niall_Perry. Who would win in a fight between Adam Keefe and Jeff Swayze? So I thought it was only right to ask Adam Keefe himself, whose answer was Jeff Swayze is a scary man, as a scary human being. I wouldn't like to find out. But what do you think?
Keefer.
Oh, that's a big shout, Paddy, and I'm Kiefer's number one fan. No question about that. But
heartbeat of the team.
He is indeed the heartbeat of the team. There's no question about that. Jeffrey Swayze is one seriously tough guy. I'm sure all of you have watched his YouTube clips and what have you. put it like this, it would be a good draw. I don't think either or would come out overly dominant in it. But
I think Suez. We got a bit of feedback there. I think Suez is a tough character. We know that. I've seen me and Davey remember him leveling Ryan Finnerty at the Big Blue Tent. You know, he is a top level player and a really, really tough guy. But when it comes to toe to toe, I'm never betting against Kiefer.
Did you remember Jeff Suez against Ryan Jordy at the Odyssey a couple of years ago? Jabbers, though. Like, after you go onto YouTube and check out some Jeffrey Suez's fights, he is not afraid and does not crumble under a toe-to-toe battle. I tell you, he is highly respected within the team and around the league as one seriously, seriously tough guy. But I agree with Kiefer is as tough as nails as well. Two real tough guys.
Okay, we'll move on. Final question comes from Save Us Pavis. And we'll do this between us because we don't have time for each of us to go into the whole thing. But a Giants dream team over your whole period. We'll start with goalie.
Ryan Pack.
Yeah, straight in with Ryan Pack as well.
Fair enough. I would go Mike Menard, but, you know, that's...
No, I was a huge Pack fan.
That's fair enough. Two D-men.
I'm going Chad Allen.
Oh, that's a good shout. That is a good shout, Chad Allen. Oh.
Surely we'll have to have Robbie Sandrock on one of the points.
Yeah, I so.
But then you've got Todd Kelman, you've got Rob Stewart. Sure. Shane Johnson.
You gotta say Todd Kelman, he's probably listening in, to be honest.
I'm gonna go killer.
Yeah, we better put Todd in.
Yeah, Todd, definitely you.
Yes, he pulls our funding.
You're actually the first one we were going to choose.
Yes, Todd, you're number one choice. So we've got two Todd Kelmans then. So we'll go for up front then. Who would you have up? Three Todd Kelmans, but who would you have up front?
Darren Fleury, Jason Ruff, and
Kevin Rial.
Oh, that's another good shout, Paddy. That is a good shout. Darren Fleury, Jason Ruff, and yes, I'll go Kevin Rial because he was absolutely superb. Corey Carlander.
Coach is going to have a fit. Oh. I'd say, for me, it would be Ruff.
The good old days.
Ruff, Rial, and...
Aaron's.
No, they work well together. We know how quick they were. We know how dominant they were. But you throw in Fleury, don't you?
Oh, you want
I think Theo needs to be in it. For me, Jason Ruff, obviously we spoke before. We're totally ignoring players like George Watt, 150 goals at the club. Colin Shields, all-time points getter. Yep. Ed Courtney, unbelievable assist guy.
Dan Walsh.
Hey.
Dan Walsh.
you've got the Rocket Road Stevens. Who else? I think there's any amount of, we've been blessed in the last almost 15 years of having unbelievable Colin Ward, unbelievable players.
It's one of those conversations, mate, that, you know, we always have maybe in the off seasons when you're trying to fill up a bit of time before the season starts, you know, this player, that player. I fully agree. There's some ups. I'd even look at now the way that I think Evan Chevrolet is only one goal away from scoring 100 in the Elite League, and he's been playing phenomenally for us. It's a couple of seasons now. You know, he's another great player who's come through. You know, it's very, very difficult to do, but, you know, and what about Joshua Pruden?
Tell you one that nobody has mentioned yet, and I can't believe
Tony Hand,
Paxton Schulte.
See, this could be all day. It's a good question, but we could be all day at it.
Yeah. So Save Us Pavis, great question, but you've wrecked us, sir. And that, my friends, brings us to the end of Ask Davey this week.
That's it. If you want to join us for Ask Davey next week, it's hashtag Ask Davey at AVFTB. On Twitter. Looking ahead to the this weekend's games, we've got two games at the Odyssey Arena, of course, with so many away games behind us, there's plenty of home games to come. And the first up is the Fife Flyers. Now, we mentioned there in the discussion with Craig Anderson that the Fife Flyers had an absolutely superb comeback in the third period against the Coventry Blaze last weekend. 5 unanswered goals in the space of about 10 minutes at the Sky Dome to annihilate the Blaze and take the 2 points away from there. Davey, they've got a big team. The Fife Flyers are not to be messed with. You look at people like Nickerson, who's going to batter you about, but it's, I think these games in the past, you looked at, you know, people always said, oh, if it's the Fife Flyers, I'm not going to bother them at all. This isn't a game that can be ignored.
As you say, Fife are no mugs. You know, we spoke about them earlier in the show, playing really, really well. Bobby Shimon for Fife. They've got Nickerson, who's huge. Derek.
Thanks, Coach.
Derek, thanks for ruining the moment there, Coach. Derek Rowell for them. Who else have got? Tim Harden. They've got names now that are obviously just not rolling off the tongue. But they've got some quality imports. And Todd Dudium has turned that club around as well in the last, after, you know, he was ready for the hills after the first sort of 10 games a season. He has turned that right around. Now, they're still not going well. They're still down at the bottom end of the table, but they're a team that is improving week on week, and they are going to have to be really, really watched on Friday night.
Coach, like I say, Nickerson's a big guy for them, and, you know, there was a bit of a, not a set to between him and Keith, but the two of them, there was no love lost there. Now, you might have a bit of physicality in that. Your opinion of the Fife Flyers. Now, we know your opinion of the Edinburgh Capitals and the Giants should be taking the win here. Do you hold the Fife Flyers in any higher regard?
Honestly, I still think the Giants should win the game convincingly. We won, what did we win up in Fife a few weeks ago? 5-2?
Yeah,
five. You know, a very dominant performance in Kirkcaldy, and I expect us to do exactly the same. Okay, Mr. Nickerson might run around. Listen, we have, as Coach Eddie has said on many occasions, we have enough physicality there with Brookwell, with Jeffrey Swayze, with Adam Keefe. You know, we're team tough, and Nickerson wants to misbehave. You know, we're going to have Daryl Lloyd back on Friday night, so we are, you know, we'll be definitely icing 10 imports. If Keith needs to sit for 5 minutes, then so be it. He'll sort Nickerson out. They have some quality players, as Davey has mentioned there, albeit they didn't roll off his tongue. But, you know, they've guys that can put the puck on the back of the net. I've watched the highlights there today from their victory against Coventry down at the Sky Dome. And, you know, came back fantastically well in that third period. And Bobby Chamon is obviously a quality player, and he's probably the key guy for them, isn't he? You know, you've just got to watch out. He's on a bit of a roll at the minute.
Coach still living in 2004 with Bo Selecta. I agree with you. Bobby Chamon is a fantastic player. Jordan Fulton as well. You can't take Fife lightly. When you take these, complacency, that's the word. When you take these players, when you take these teams lightly, they'll come in and they'll shock you. The Giants need to be as professional against the Fife Flyers as they were against the Edinburgh Capitals, because you got to pick up these points at home, especially the crossover games against Gardner Conference teams. Sorry, this is where the league's won, is in these crossover games for me. And if you start to drop these points, then you're going to struggle. The game is on Friday night, 7 p.m. at the Odyssey Arena, and on Saturday night, the return of Doug Christensen and the Sheffield Steelers. The Steelers didn't have a game last weekend. They've had a bit of time, but again, they're quite inconsistent in the way they've been playing. Davey, it'd be interesting to see which Sheffield Steelers team arrive at the Odyssey.
Got to put them away. Whenever Sheffield Steelers team arrive at the Odyssey, we've got to put them away. We're at a stage of the season now where we've got to be winning these. This home swing, we've got sort of, what is it, 8 out of our next 10 games, something like that at home. We'll have to be winning our conference games. And sorry to Doug Christensen, you know, you're going to have to take another beating on Saturday night, mate.
The Sheffield Steelers will have a game on midweek against the Edinburgh Capitals at home before they come to the Odyssey Arena. Coach, again, more personnel changes going on in Sheffield. And it's that inconsistency on the ice that's really, really been tough for them.
It definitely has, Paddy. No question about that. And has Sirianni departed, or is that still has he gone? You know, that's a big loss for the Sheffield Steelers. Sirianni can put the puck on the back of the net.
I think the Belfast Giants were looking at Seriani during the summertime as well. If he's the type of player that jumps teams, like that's just going to be his third team, isn't it, this season? Mm-hmm. If he's that type of player, I'm glad he didn't arrive in Belfast, to be brutally honest with you. I'm not sure he's bought into the whole concept of team. But, you know, Sheffield Steelers are a quality team. We said it right from the start of the season. They've got quality written all over them. They just are struggling to get it together. And, you know, Big Doug has a massive, massive job in his hands because consistency, and that's all that Doug ever talked about as coach of the Belfast Giants. And he's doing the same with the Sheffield Steelers. It's all he talks about is you have to have consistency to win championships. And the Sheffield Steelers are winning on Saturdays and losing on Sundays. Here's hoping we break the cycle and make sure they lose this Saturday.
A quick question, I'll start yourself, Davey, but I'll ask both of you. But if we beat the Sheffield Steelers at home on Saturday, does that end the Steelers' chances of winning the league?
No.
No? Don't think so?
Still too early, Paddy. What are we in? What have I had here? League standings, Sheffield Steelers. That would be them. I suppose it'd be 5. It'd be 11 points behind with 2 games in hand. I don't think at this stage they'd be out of it because we're less than halfway through the season, but it would certainly put a big dent in their challenge. And that's all you can do at this stage. You try to knock off your challengers one by one and hope that, you know, come the end of the season, you've got that bit of a gap.
Coach?
I agree with you. I don't think you can completely count them out if we win on Saturday night. You know, Doug, whether rightly or wrongly, has said that the Belfast Giants will go through a slump like every team have gone through a slump at various different stages throughout the course of the season. But this Belfast Giants team, they just have something about them that I've liked from day one. A phenomenal work rate. I think Dustin Whitecotton has been the key signing for us this season. And I think any team, I think Doug Christensen would give his right arm to have a Dustin Whitecotton on his team because he's not the leading vocalist in the dressing room. He's not the one screaming and shouting and slapping the walls before they go out to play. But he leads by example. He's a veteran of the game. He's played 10 odd years in Germany and all the rest. He leads from the front. And for me, whenever a team is inconsistent, I kind of question the leadership within the dressing room at times. And leaders on the ice. And we have that.
Sorry, Coach. I thought you finished there. To come back on your question, Paddy, I think us beating them on Saturday night will put them out of the title race. Just looking at them, I don't think they're actually in the title race this season. You know, they've played 20 games, they've won 11, lost 9. Mm. They're just shooting slightly above 500. To win this league, you've got to be shooting 750, you know, and thankfully the Giants are in that sort of statistical band.
Well, the thing that stands us in good stead, Davey, is the fact that we have played a lot of interconference games.
Yeah.
Sheffield and Nottingham especially, haven't from memory. And we have played the vast majority of games, interconference games. That stands us in bloody good stead moving forward. No question about that. But I would not be ruling the Sheffield Steelers out of the league race this year.
Form as well, Coach. But, you know, like, you look at our last 10 games, and granted, you know, a lot of them were away from home. We're 8-2-0. You know, we're winning 80% of their games. Sheffield Steelers, last 10, they're 6-4. You know, they're just not consistent at the minute. And, you know, they expect them to just suddenly become consistent for the rest of the season. It's a bit of a leap of faith at the minute.
Okay. It's going to be interesting to see how that all develops, isn't it? Let's be honest, in Sheffield, because, you know, Doug was a man that said, and we, the three of us, have absolutely enormous respect for Doug Christensen as a man and as a hockey coach. But, like, he was the one to say that he was now operating by moving to Sheffield with a massive budget. And that brings pressure with it as well. And if Doug doesn't bring some form of silverware to the Motorpoint Arena this year, it's going to be under pressure, guys.
The games this weekend, as I said, Friday night, 7 p.m. for the Fife Flyers, Saturday night, 7 p.m. against the Sheffield Steelers. Get your bag packed full of clothes. Get it down for the Colin Shields initiative to help the homeless. And of course, Cameron Hughes wants you to get down and pack the O. If you can't get down, GiantsLive.tv will have the games. Coach will be behind the mic once again, would you, Coach?
Yeah, I'm on Saturday night, but doing all the pre-game, post-game interviews on the Friday night as well.
And Davey will be tuning in from Wales.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers, Patrick.
A lot of people to thank for tonight's show. The guys, of course, at Davey_McG and at Rustler147 if you want to catch up with Davey and the coach on Twitter. But of course, we had Cameron Hughes on, and he's at Cameron Cheers, and thanks to him for joining us on the show. Craig Anderson at Slapshot Scott, if you want to keep up to date on everything with regards to the Gardner Conference and Scottish hockey. At Sheds 19 for Colin Shields, at Homeless Belfast is the initiative that he's running. Hashtag PackTheO is what you want to see on Twitter to follow the initiative for this weekend's games. There's a lot of posters on there on the Belfast Giants website for you to print out, take down to your workplace, and try to drag as many people along this weekend as you possibly can. We've got the game against Fife on Friday night, 7 p.m. at the Odyssey Arena, and against the Sheffield Steelers on Saturday night, again 7 p.m. If you can't get down to those games, giantslive.tv is where you'll find all the games this season at the Odyssey Arena being broadcast via webcast. We also mentioned earlier on in the show our SoundCloud account. We have some great interviews there. You'll find pre-game interviews and post-game interviews put up straight away. So before you even get to the Odyssey Arena, soundcloud.com/AVFTB to find out what Paul Leary and the away coach have to say for the game you're about to watch. Also, that interview with Jeff Mason that Coach did on Saturday night is there. It's a really good listen as well at soundcloud.com/AVFTV. I'm looking forward to this weekend, flying home myself, looking forward to seeing some games at the Odyssey Arena. And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. We'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.